that there is in the life of every one of us a dark pit. If we get really honest with each other, when we're able to really let down all of the outer sophistication and the pseudo smiles and everything else that we carry around with us, that there is within every one of our lives one of those dark pits, a time of great despair and great tragedy. But you see, invariably, it's at that time that God goes to work in your life. And so I praise God for the dark pits in my life and in your life, because I know it's at that time that the Holy Spirit is free to move in our lives. I have a dear old friend up in New Jersey. His name is Seabury Oliver. Seabury Oliver was one of the top economic advisors in the Wall Street concept. Been a very wealthy man in his prime, is still a very wealthy man. A man who was a financial advisor to many others. And I had breakfast with him, several months ago, I guess, when I was in New Jersey. And he was sharing just a little bit about what Jesus Christ meant to his life. And it was with such radiance. And we were eating in the home of a friend, and he was there in his little cutaway coat and pinstripe pants, little umbrella that he was carrying with him, little derby hat. Looked every bit like, if I were going to paint a picture of a financial advisor, that's the way I would paint one. And he was there, and it just didn't seem quite right to hear this flowing evangelical message coming out of his lips. And I finally stopped him, and I said, "Seabury, how is it that you came to know the Lord?" And he turned and he looked at me. And he said, "Trouble." And then he said, "How else does anybody come to know the Lord? Through the dark pit." When you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you voluntarily surrender the right to choose or the power to vary the consequence. I made my surrender to Jesus Christ when I was 22 years old. I made it at a Bible camp up in New York State between my junior and senior year in college. And I had no idea that God was going to require of me the vow that passed my lips that night at a campfire. And he didn't require it right then. He waited 16 years before he finally required it of me. And during those 16 years, I went ahead and did all the things that I thought that I was supposed to do to glorify God. I finished my college. I went on to seminary. I pastored a church. We lived down in Greenwood, South Carolina for 8 years, to where I was the pastor of a large Southern Baptist church down there. And everything seemed to be right on the outside, and yet I knew on the inside that there was a moral vacuum in my life. That's the reason I so identify with some of you pastors who are here tonight. I know what it's like to try to do God's work without God's power. It's the most difficult, the most tedious thing in all the earth, to try to do the things of God without the power of God. And so for 14 years, I did everything I could to do the work of God. And yet it was without the power of God, and all the while this vacuum within my life grew larger and larger and larger and larger, until I reached that time to where everything within me was snatched away. And I fell into that pit. I won't go into the details tonight, because God has delivered me totally and completely out of that. But I will say this, I know what it's like to be in that area, to where you step out into the front yard of your house and stand at the midnight hour and pull your shirt off of your chest and scream at the heavens for God to strike you dead. because you don't want to wake up the next morning, because life has become that empty. And then to find out that it's in those hours that God begins to go to work in your life. And now, in looking back on that, I realize that all that happened to me across those years was actually the hand of God designed to bring me into the conformity of the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We lost everything. It wasn't because I was so spiritual, it was because I wasn't spiritual at all. And everything we had, we lost. Our reputation, our job, the salary, everything was gone. The future was gone. And my wife and I and five children had nobody to cling on to except one another. And it was in that time that we turned to God. And confessing, said, God, we have tried for years to do your work. And we have been totally and completely unsuccessful in it. Now, if you don't move in our lives, we're lost people. And he began to move. I know, in looking back, that the reason he was moving is because when I was 22 years old, I made a vow unto the Lord. And I said with my lips, even though I did not understand it with my heart, I want to be a man of God. And I realize now that what he was saying is, all right, son, the time has come.